Holy Spirit, ask that in these next few minutes, you help us understand this Christmas story more and live out of it more. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, again, welcome, Merry Christmas. Those of you in the community center, thank you all for being here. There's a phrase we use when something unexpected happens. I didn't see that coming. It can be a bad thing, like I got a bad grade or lost my job, didn't see that coming. Or it can be a good thing, like, wow, my brother-in-law said something intelligent tonight. Didn't see that coming. Or Mariners won the World Series. Did not see that coming. Marshawn Lynch. Did not see that coming. That's the best part of the sermon right there, so downhill from here. That first Christmas was something nobody saw coming. Now, they should have, because for 700 years, prophets had been predicting a Savior in very specific terms, right down to the town that he would be born in. But how Jesus came that first Christmas and who Jesus was so different than any other God depicted in any other religion, people could not get their minds around it. That God came in human form in the person of Jesus, born to a teenage peasant with a bad reputation because she got pregnant before she was married, but claimed it was by the Holy Spirit and she was still a virgin, trying to convince her fiancé, Joseph, saying, this is not what it looks like, really. Whether you believe in Jesus or not, the one thing you have to admit is he was radically different than any other God in any other religion ever. Which is one of many reasons I believe he is the only real God, and that he lives, and that he can change our lives in ways that we wouldn't see coming. One of the things I love about my wife, one of the reasons I married her, she has this very irreverent sense of humor, and you kind of never know what's going to come out of her mouth ever, so every day is an adventure. And in October, there was an auction to support Eastside Academy, the alternative school that meets here in this church. And one of the items being auctioned was dinner with my wife and with me. And I was in Greece at the time, but my wife was there. And to kind of generate interest in this item, they said to my wife, wow, dinner with the pastor and his wife, that's got to be like filled with spiritual insights, right? And to everyone in there, she said, no, not really. Scott's not even a Christian. Oh, my gosh. Oh my gosh, like that's sort of a requirement of this job. Like, that's the one thing you really have to do this job. I was in Greece, I started getting text messages in Greece. So you're not a Christian? Ah, I am, yes, I am. Now, it never occurred to me before I left to say to her, whatever you do, don't tell hundreds of church people I'm not a Christian. Did not see that coming. My wife is like Jesus in so many ways. You never know what he is going to say or what he's going to do. He's just unique. He's just different. Starting with that first Christmas, born poor in a barn in Bethlehem, this podunk little village, the Ephrata of the Roman world, right? In a country in Asia under European oppression from the colonialism of the Roman Empire, he had to become a refugee as a baby, refugee in Egypt to escape a genocide. Even at his birth, there was so much suffering, and this makes him different. Because see, what Christmas means is that God, in the person of Jesus, the one being in the universe who did not have to suffer, chose to suffer what we suffer so that he and so that we knew he understood us. No other God in any other religion had this kind of courage or this kind of love. And what it means is he understands what we go through because he went through all the same things. He's a God that gets it. Very different than any other God in any other religion. And then on top of that, Jesus is so personal. He said the greatest command was to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Who's love? Who said anything about love? Like, this was radically different. Every other God in every other religion expects to be feared or obeyed, but not loved. But Jesus loves you like crazy, and he wants a relationship with you. He's personal. And then there were the people that he chose to be in relationship with. Oh, my goodness, all the wrong people. Jesus spent all of his time with terrorists and enemy soldiers enforcing Roman colonialism. And religious folks didn't like that, and religious folks said he was a friend of sinners, and they meant it as an insult, but he wore it as a badge of honor. Every other religion says, clean up your act, and then you can come to God. But Jesus says, no, 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 just come. Just come messed up, screwed up, scarred up, wrecked up, jacked up, broken up. Just come as you are, and I will make you everything that I created you to be. But he doesn't say just come when things are kind of hard. He also says come even if your life is great. You're killing it. You're living your best life. He says come then too. Because I can give you something so much bigger. I can make your life so much bigger as I make you part of my rescue mission to this world. See, Jesus doesn't come just to kind of help us achieve our goals and get what we want out of life. No, no, no. Jesus will change our goals all together to something much bigger and to give us a much bigger life. Someone sent me a story about a German shepherd and a golden retriever and a cat who died, and they went to heaven. And God was on his throne, and he asked the German shepherd, what do you believe? And German shepherd said, I believe in loyalty to my master. And God said, great, sit at my right hand. And then God asked the golden retriever, what do you believe? And golden retriever said, I believe in loving my master. And God said, great, sit at my left hand. And then God asked the cat, what do you believe? And the cat said, I believe you're sitting in my chair. Jesus, I love cats, by the way. Jesus. Yeah. They know I don't. Jesus asked us to get off the chair. Like, put him in charge. Put him on the throne, and he will reorder our lives and give us completely different goals. See, here's the thing. Jesus will not make you comfortable, but he will make you brave and give you a bigger life. So, like, if ease and comfort are what you're looking for, he maybe isn't your guy. But he will make you brave and give you a bigger life. Recently heard a woman named Kathy talk about getting laid off from her job and couldn't find another one. She was a nurse, couldn't find another one. Finally, an employment agency told her about a job being a nurse in a prison. And she was like, no way, not going to do that, right? But then over the next week, whenever she turned on the TV, there would mysteriously be a story about prisons on the TV. And then her friends suddenly, for no reason, started talking about prisons all the time. And she'd be listening to songs on the radio, and they'd have lyrics about prison. And finally she said, okay, God, I get it. So she went to work as a prison nurse. First day was horrible. Woman yelled at her and said, I hate your guts, get out of here. But then that afternoon, when Kathy picked up her kids from school, God just filled her with compassion. And she said, God, some of these inmates haven't had the same opportunities that my kids have had. What can I do for them? And she thought of three things, like pray for them. And then second, talk to them in a loving way about the choices they'd made in life and help them imagine better choices. And then third, show them that God loved them. So, for instance, she was treating one man, and she asked him, what are you in for? And he kind of dropped his head and very ashamed and said, capital murder. And she said, well, Jesus is a capital God, and he can forgive you capitally. And he thought that was kind of funny, and that got him interested, and he started learning more about Jesus, eventually became a follower of Jesus, felt Jesus' love, completely transformed his life. That's the kind of thing Kathy would do. The upshot is the prisoners love her. They tell her everything. She loves them. She loves her job. She's braver, less anxious. She's changing lives. Jesus gave her a bigger life. And the job she least wanted to do became the thing that she loved to do. She didn't see any of that coming. But that's the kind of thing that Jesus does. Because see, Jesus will take the worst thing, like getting laid off, and turn it around to be the best thing by getting you a dream job you didn't even know you dreamed of. Just like he did when he died on a cross, the worst thing, but he used that to pay the price for every sin we've sinned, all the ways we've hurt people, and deep down inside, we know that if a price is not paid, then there's no justice in the universe, but he takes the punishment for us and then conquers death by rising from the grave, and he lives today. And that's different. Because see, throughout all of history, there have been many gods who expect us to die for them, but only one who died for us. Nobody, really nobody, saw that coming. Because that's not the kind of thing gods do. But Jesus does. And he is radically unique, and he makes our lives. He can change us to be radically unique people as well. As I mentioned in October, I was in Greece helping Muslim refugees who are fleeing from war and persecution and all kinds of stuff. And when we were there, we met a man, I'm going to call him Akil, and he fled from Iran to Greece. And part of his journey was on a train, and he met a man who said, well, do you have a place to stay when you get there? And Akil said, no. And the man said, well, you should go to a church because Christians will help you. And Akil said, no way, no way. He was very religious in Iran, obeyed all the rules, but never experienced God and wanted nothing to do with any kind of religion. So he said, no way. And then the man said, well, do you have a girlfriend? And Akil said, no. And the man said, well, you should go to church because they have beautiful women there. So Akil went to church. And he was super shocked because he saw people with guitars and drums and they were clapping and dancing and yelling and all kinds of stuff. So obviously not a Presbyterian church, except when Alexis is in the house. Which we love. And he thought, he's in this church, he thought if there is a God, he's going to blast all these people because it seems so blasphemous, right? But he kept coming back, and he saw how much joy the Christians had, and he saw how brave they were, and he saw how they'd help people out, even when it cost them personally a lot. Right? These people were unique. Now, they weren't just churchgoers. Churchgoers can be just as mean and nasty as everyone else. These people had a real relationship with Jesus that was changing them and who they were. Well, then one day the preacher said, does anyone want to officially make Jesus the leader of their life and the forgiver of their sins? And Akil raised his hand. So the pastor put his hand on his shoulder and prayed for him. And Akil said he felt this electricity go through his body. It was like it was physical. Thought the guy had magical powers. And then over the course of the next year, he got married. He was hoping to go to Canada to get a great job. But Jesus just kept kind of changing him and started giving him all this compassion for refugees. Refugees just like him. And now, a year later, he doesn't want to go to Canada. He wants to stay in Greece and help refugees like him find a better life and as well as find Jesus. And when we met him, he was about to go back to Iran because he wanted to tell his relatives about Jesus so they could have the kind of joy and courage that he has. But he could, you know, you do that in Iran, he could be jailed for that, talking about Jesus. He could be jailed for that. Even worse, he could be killed for that. So he asked us to pray for him for two things. First, he said, pray that if anything bad happens, you know, he's captured or killed. He said, pray that I would not deny knowing Jesus. And then he said, second, pray that if something bad happens, that somehow it would make Jesus look good. He asked for those two prayers. And I was sitting there going like, are you sure there's not like a third thing that we could pray for? Like, maybe nothing bad happens? Wasn't on his radar. He is so filled with Jesus' love and courage and joy. He is just focused on spreading that to anyone that he can spread it to. And he did go, and he got back safely. Now, when he left Iran for Greece, he didn't see any of that coming. He'd never experienced God before. Now he has. Jesus made him different, very unique person like no one I've ever met. So much courage, more courage than anyone I've ever met. And he had this unexplainable, unexpected, irrepressible, unstoppable, unshakable joy that could survive even the challenges of being a refugee. Because that's the kind of thing Jesus does when he gets a hold of folks. So if you don't know Jesus, I would encourage you to get to know him. And if you do know Jesus, don't settle for just going to church. Let him make you uncomfortable and give you a bigger life. The bottom line is this: if Jesus had never existed, we could not have invented him. He's just too different. He was kind to people he was supposed to be hard on, like prostitutes and racketeers, and he was hard on people he was supposed to be kind to, like religious leaders. He followed the rules everyone else breaks, and he broke the rules that everyone else follows. He said, last is first, and first is last. Weak is strong, and strong is weak. The down and out or the up and in, the up and in or the down and out. The sad or happy, the poor or rich. What are you going to do with a guy like that? He transformed white-collar criminals who stole poor people's money to enrich themselves and turned them into generous givers. He was friends with terrorists, and he taught them how to overcome evil with good. But when fussy religious people got all fussy about their traditions, he blasted them, called them a brood of vipers on the road to hell. In fact, the only people Jesus ever yelled at were religious people. I like that guy. He was the first in history to reconcile different races, told his followers to help the immigrant, the orphan, the poor, the widow. He comforted the brokenhearted, befriended the lonely, healed the sick, and conquered death so that even when we die, we are unafraid because we know we will rise again like he did. And he's coming back someday to dry every tear, mend every heart, and make all things new. Radical, counterculture. You couldn't invent him, couldn't make him up, couldn't predict him, couldn't see him coming, but come he did for you and me to love us, heal us, transform us, and make us brave. And he is bigger than your greatest weakness, stronger than your secrets and your shame and your sin. He is mightier than any battle you face. There is no one like Jesus. There is no one like him. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Jesus, there is no one like you. There is no one like you. So, Lord, help us to see you for who you really are. Beyond all the religious stuff, just who you really are. And follow you more to become the people you created us to be. In your name, Jesus, amen.